comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Backdoor Cover, week number 4. Got my head beat in week 3. Can't wait to tell you guys about that. But before we start, let me remind you guys that you can find all of my picks and up-to-date information in the IBN All-Star Group, as well as follow me on Twitter for prop plays. If you checked out my Twitter this past week, I had a 7-1 prop play, which actually financially probably saved my week. But doesn't do anything for my actual record. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're still looking to make some kind of money. And despite having probably the worst week of my life, financially, I ended up fine just because of that 7-1. And then the extra money I had on the Bengals to cover, which I'll talk about in the recap in a few as well. So, yeah, check that out. It's at ActivelyLazy85. You know, I post all the other stuff in the IBN All-Star group. So either way you go, it's just quicker if you follow me on Twitter. All right, so recapping week number 3. So contest-wise, because I do the little high roller contests in the group, I'm not super serious about that as much as I am about the other stuff, because there's way more money in the other stuff. But, you know, with it being that these are people in the group, you still want to win. I think I was 0-5 in that. Ronnie actually texted me last night and asked me what did I do, and I just told him 0-5 because I literally don't recall winning anything. But the super contest for Westgate was rough. So I was at 8-2. If I had a 5-0 week, which doesn't happen often, but just to put it in perspective, at 8-2, if I had a 5-0 week last week, I would tied third overall. Well, tied for first with two other people, and we would have split a $25,000 pot. So, yeah, that sucks. Absolutely sucks. But one of the things that I can say is there's a lot of pressure when you're shooting 80%. And if you look at the percentages at the end of the year, most of these guys who are winning are closer to 70%, high 60%. Last year, I was like 64%. So getting off to a fast start is great, but it also kind of makes the picks that much more pressurized, especially when you have all these mini contests going and stuff like that. So a part of me is somewhat relieved. I can just let it go because I'm definitely out of contention for the mini contest. But then another mini contest is starting up too, so there's an opportunity for me to just bounce back. So that's where I'm at on the contest. I think I'm ranked, I went from 13th to like 248. And then in the MyBookie contest, I'm in like the 2000s. I don't even worry about MyBookie, man. Like, you could turn that around so quick. There's so many like guppies in that contest. And you know, looking back on the week, I guess the only thing I can say is, you know, anybody that listens to my podcast or listens to me with my picks, I'm generally fading the public. And last week, the public was just crushing. So if the public crushed and I'm on the fade the public rants, then, you know, I didn't have a good weekend. So that's not the gloss over, you know, the fact that I didn't do good. But you have to address it, especially when you're gambling, because you want to know why. First and foremost, because you don't want to go 0-5 2 weeks in a row. But then you also don't want to overthink it as well, because, I mean, this is gambling. Things happen. I'll give you a prime example. I had the Packers -2. They won by 1, 18-17. Like, how often does that happen? Like, I don't even think – I can't recall the last time I bet a team to win by 2 and they didn't at least push or win by 3. Like, it's very rare for a number to fall on 1 in football. It's just like you typically lose the game. You don't typically win by 1. So it's just, that was odd. I don't even know what to make of the Vikings game. From an X and O standpoint, you know, I could complain days and days about how stupid it was not to just clock it and then come up with a play. But, you know, Kevin Cash and Kevin McConnell, McConnell and Staley are just like two peas in a pod when it comes to head scratching decisions. And you look at the Vikings offensively, they're like first in like all these categories. They got a top 10 defense and they're 0-3. Like that's a coaching and execution thing. Like the team is good, but man, like I don't understand it. I really don't. And of course, you know, they came into the game fumbling again. And I know there's a lot made out of Madison, you know, getting those like racist tweets and DMs. Since the inception of fantasy football and gambling, people have always popped off with like stupid stuff. And don't get me wrong, I was in the car listening to it on the radio and smacking my steering wheel like, what are you doing? Like that's normal. But anytime anybody takes it to that level where they're, you know, dropping N-bombs in your DMs and telling you, you know, I hope you break your leg or tear your ACL, stupid stuff like that, like that's just dumb. The average person investing in any kind of DFS or gambling isn't talking like that. So I'm not making a big deal about it. But I mean, at the end of the day, he really does need to hold on to the ball too. So like, I don't know, fix it. But yeah, so public wise, teams getting at least 70% or more of the bets. The Seahawks got 86% of the bets. They covered the 4.5. The Dolphins got 82% of the bets. They covered the 6 for like 15 games. The Cowboys are the only team that didn't cover the spread with that much bets behind them. Cowboys had 82% of the bets. They did not cover the 13. And, you know, for all the people trying to make fun of Dallas and stuff like that, I'm telling you, man, like there's a weird little trend where like these double digit home dogs cover. And then a lot of these covers in the last like 4 or 5 years, actually since the end of the Patriots dynasty, basically, these double digit road home team, or sorry, these double digit home teams have come through. I think the Vikings did it to the Bills probably like 4 or 5 years ago. And I think some of that is just that people are used to seeing the Patriots in that spot or the Steelers in that spot, like two solidified dynasty teams, like the Steelers when they had the three B's, Ben, AB, and Bell, you know, like that's totally different. And we all know about what the Patriots were when they were, you know, at their peak. Two totally different teams than like even the Chiefs right now. The Chiefs have a lot of that like Warriors thing with them where, I mean, they might blow you out. They might not if they're on the road, you know. And I think I was talking about week one, you know, they have a negative percentage when it comes to winning games where the spread is over 7, or maybe it was like 9, something like that. But it's like they're like 4-7 or something like that in their last games that, you know, the spread was like 10 or higher or something. So, you know, a lot of like we see blowouts. Obviously, you know, the Dolphins and Broncos is probably the most prolific one right now, or most recent one for sure. We see blowouts, but I don't know if you see them that often when the team is on, like when the favorite is on the road as a double digit. So, you know, people looking at the Cowboys game, like, yeah, it's disappointing. It sucks. There's a couple other variances in there. You could talk about how Gannon knows that offense well enough that he could come up with a good game plan. He did see them twice last year. And they did do well against Dak, so there's that. But at the end of the day, I don't read into it too much. It probably was an overestimation on the book's part, but also just one of those things where, you know, I hate the corny saying, but any given Sunday, and that's pretty much what happened. Now, with that being said, the Cardinals are a 14-point dog going into San Francisco this week. There's another trend that says that these teams that win those games as double-digit dogs don't cover the next week as double digit. It's like call it like a hangover essentially. So I'm not sure if that's going to fly this weekend, but we will see. And if it does, I'll definitely point it out. And then let's see, what was the other one? The Chiefs covered the 12 and a half. Oh, the Lions covered the 3.5. The Eagles covered the 5. The Patriots covered the 2.5. And the Bills covered the 5.5. So I, out of those games, I had the Bucks and I had the Seahawks too. I just didn't put them in my contest. But I didn't count that as a win just because all my contest wins were none. My overall, I won two games overall. The Seahawks, and I think I did call the Cardinals, but I didn't play it. Like, I just gave people a heads up on it. I'd go back and look again. But anyway, my two wins this weekend, the Bengals, I jumped on at 1.5 in anticipation that Joe Burrow would play. I put almost 2 units on it, which again really helped. And then the Seahawks, I had like half a unit on that. I shouldn't even count that. But when you have a weekend where everything else loses, and then you get those two bets, and then a 7-1 boosted parlay that I gave out on Sunday morning hit, that really helped. So financially, I'm basically broke even. But record-wise, it's awful. So with that being said, let's jump into this week. Again, not wanting to overthink things, I'm going to take some shots, and then I'm going to just make sure I pay attention to what's going on in regards to, am I not seeing something? Because what I've noticed is I don't really agree with a lot of the gambling people that I listen to now, and it's nothing against them. Like, in the industry, from what I've gathered, listen to people, following them on Twitter, gamblers gamble. That's what they do. And a lot of their decisions are fact-based, number-based, pretty much, not fact-based, but number-based. So you're looking at probabilities and percentages and stuff like that. Like, I guess the best example I can give is the Vikings game with the Chargers. Now, the gamblers all say that Staley made the right decision when he went for it on his, like, own 35 at 4th-and-1. And that, you know, if you do that 4 out of 8 times, you're likely to win, or 5 out of 8 times, something like that. But, like, the X and O in me says that was an awful decision. It was dumb as hell, and you pretty much almost blew the game. The only reason why you didn't blow the game is because the guy on the other sideline was just as dumb as you, which is something that we can't always depend on. But you, in that situation, the only reason why I say that's a terrible call is because the Chargers hadn't run the ball well all game, hadn't controlled the line of scrimmage enough to run the ball, honestly. And what they did was a fullback dive. Like, come on, man. Like, just sneak it or do like a play action and get Herbert in space and let him run or dump it off to somebody. Anything but run right into the heart of the defense that you have not gotten a yard on all game. Like, you just hadn't gotten the push for something like that. So that's why I say I think sometimes me as a person who actually watches football gets a little annoyed because gamblers will give you all these stats and things like that. But, you know, when you watch the game like that, that still doesn't make sense within the game. Like, I think sometimes people forget that there's still people on the field competing in real time. And you can't just depend on historical data to determine, like, you know, the outcome of a game. Sometimes you got to pivot. If you got a guy that's on fire, you don't usually throw him the ball. But today he's got 10 catches. Give him 11, you know. It's just frustrating sometimes. So what I did was I went more with the eye test this week rather than, you know, statistical probabilities, which I typically give the eye test a little bit more credit anyway, because it's to me it's real time, and that matters more than some historical data. There's a couple picks in here, and when I get to them, I'll explain it. Where, you know, I flipped and it was more historical database than eye test. So Thursday night, we've got the Detroit Lions visiting the Green Bay Packers, divisional game in the NFC North. You got 1.5 is the number. Packers actually are a home dog at +1.5. So I don't typically do this, but this week I think I am going to put this in my super contest. So when I put it in my super contest, that means I have to lock all 5 picks by Thursday. Definitely a little risky, but thankfully the games that I'm targeting, there's no injury issues, so I can get it done this week. Here's my thing with the Packers. They're probably better than I think Vegas is giving them credit. The comeback last week was cool. They didn't cover the number, but the fact that they were able to overcome such a good defense, I think, speaks volumes to that team. Because what people don't realize is that they're still not 100%. They didn't have Jones, and they didn't have Watkins. They're getting Watkins and Jones back this week. Jair Alexander wasn't playing last week, which is the staple to their pass coverage. And so I think he's coming back this week as well. I'm actually anticipating all three of those gentlemen will play. And that is why, in my mind, this line is wrong. I think the Packers should be favored by 1.5 and not the Lions. Lions also typically take a step back offensively when they are outside of the dome. It's not drastic. I mean, we only got a 1-game sample this year. And it's like the way they score like 21 or something like that against the the offense itself scored, I think, like 21 against the Chiefs. But here's my thing. Last year, I think the Lions, like, the variance was almost like a score and a field goal difference, or close to it, between home and away game. So Packers also have, you know, we all know the history, but you kind of have to throw that out the window because, I mean, Jordan Love is playing great, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. We don't have enough data to call him Aaron Rodgers. So you got to throw that out the window. Matt LaFleur is doing a good job coaching. This defense is definitely flying around the ball, even when they're not, you know, they're not the best, like, on paper. But I see a lot of hustle. I see a lot of knowing what you're supposed to do, and that really matters. Talking to you, Broncos, knowing what you're supposed to do in that particular, like, scheme, in that particular play. Like, it's a lot of chemistry there. And I like what I see. Not a fade of the Lions. I think the Lions can still win the division. But this is a game that, you know, seeing how the Packers are playing and how the Lions are playing, I think this is a split. I think, you know, on the road in a short week, I favor the Packers. If it was the other way around, I would favor the Lions. So I'm going to put the Packers in my Thursday contest. I already, like, put something in the all-star group about it. Then I'm betting the Packers money line. I think it's a good spot for them. All right. And then we've got the dreaded Sunday 9:30 kickoff for the London game, Falcons and Jags. Jags are favored by 3, and people have jokingly called this the Jaguars' actual home game because they do always send them over to London. So this is a bounce back spot for me for Jacksonville. That's why I'm backing them. I pulled that early as well in the all-star group saying, like, hey, I'm taking Jacksonville. I'm -3. I kind of expect the line to go up a little bit. If it doesn't, I'm still going to hold on to the 3. I'm not really afraid of it. I know Jacksonville definitely fumbled the bag last weekend against the Texans. A lot of momentum that the Texans bought in, too. It was crazy. Like, I think I remember questioning why there was so much money behind it. And I do know that they had some historical data saying, like, the Texans always find a way to make these games work for them. But, man, that was not expected to be as easy as it was for the Texans. But really think the Jacksonville bounce back here. I still think Arthur Smith is having issues trying to get all of his playmakers involved. Jacksonville has a top 10 rushing defense. Would expect them to key in on Bijan and Algier and make, you know, Ridder pass. Like, that's load the box. Even if you make him pass, it doesn't seem like he could do it accurately. So until he actually does it accurately, like, what are we doing? Like, just take those guys away and see if he can beat you. And I think that's an effective strategy right now with the Falcons. And I think that's what the Lions did. And then it's just a bad travel spot for Atlanta as well, I think. So I'm on Jacksonville this weekend. Broncos favored by 3.5, visiting the Bears. Somebody's gotta go. Not touching this game. It's disgusting. But man, I don't know. I guess the Broncos, they can't be that bad. Like if Sean Payton loses to the Bears, he needs to retire. He needs to just quit coaching straight up. Ravens visiting the Browns. Ravens are +2.5 dogs on the road, coming into Cleveland. Cleveland, impressive win last week. Very impressive win. In the sense that they overpowered the Titans. Shut them down all around offensively or defensively. Shout out to Jim Schwartz, man. I love what he's doing with that team. You know, there's plenty of clips online of my man Myles Garrett giving people pre-snap scares. I don't know if you guys seen the AI crossover, and then the most recent one, he's just moving back and forth left to right, and he's got two tight ends following them, and they get a delay of game because they're so focused on following Myles Garrett that they didn't get set in time, which is hilarious and ridiculous. But why are we keep blocking these elite pass rushers with tight ends, man? And I know people keep making jokes about the Niners and Purdy getting hurt, but yeah, that's the same kind of ignorant logic. I don't understand it. I'm not blocking a guy that has over 12 sacks with the tight end. Not in today's game. Maybe back in the 90s, because guys like Shannon Sharp would actually block, but no, I'm good on that, man. Actually, not even Shannon Sharp. He's not even a good example, but Jay Novacek. Let's do that. Somebody like that. Like, I feel like I could depend on the block, but no, I can't. I can't think of any top receiving tight end this in the game today that I would depend on to pass block. And yet they keep trying to do it, not with one, but two at this point, and it's still not working. But I think the Ravens might be in for a rough run. I have a dark prediction. I don't want to say it out loud, but I'm looking at the rush stats on Lamar, and he went from 6 to 12 to 16. He's not going to make it if they're going to run him designed runs. If they're going to do designed runs and they're up to like 16 a game, he's not going to make it through the season. He's just not. Like, no quarterback at this point, honestly, is built for that. And you know, if the days of like the Cam Newtons is long gone. Anthony Richardson has already got two concussions, and I know one was kind of fluke because he got pulled down and he hit his head on the ground, but the first one was on a run and the guy just dove and hit him in the back of the head with his helmet, which should have been a penalty. But the way people tackle now and stuff, it's not gonna work, man. So in a weird twist, I like the Browns at 2.5. But if it was 3.5, I probably would go with the Ravens. So right now, I actually have the Browns in my contest, and I'm hoping that it stays 2.5, so I can just go ahead and take it. But I think with Watson, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, they've got the defense to contain the Ravens, man. They've got it. Like, I have the utmost faith in the defense and would be totally shocked if Lamar and this offense were able to move the ball and score enough points to cover. That would be impressive on the Ravens side. I don't think they've got it. So got the Browns in my contest. Bengals visiting the Titans, a line that has moved a lot, but also dropped a lot. It's just up and down, up and down. Titans are getting 2.5 in Tennessee against the Bengals. This is a game where I would lean more to historical data. Titans have not done well against the Bengals. I think Burrow's like 3-0 against them. They're also bringing in the worst passing defense in the league against a guy looking for a reason to just bomb it and come back. So give me the Bengals here. I'm not a big fan of the Titans. Not sure how long Mike Vrabel can keep rolling out Ryan Tannehill. Not sure if Malik Willis is the answer either, but at least he's a little bit more dynamic. And Derrick Henry, you know, he's not getting those big runs. So if they're not able to get those like 4.5, 5 yards a carry with Derrick Henry, you really have nothing. Like, they picked up DeAndre Hopkins. They can't stretch the field, which is what everybody was saying when they picked him up in the beginning. Like all the people who actually kept up with Hopkins, like, what? This isn't a celebratory signing. He doesn't do anything for your offense, really. And Tannehill just looks really old this year. I was very shocked about that. So we've got I'm going with the Bengals here. Don't have him in my contest, but have him probably as a secondary play just in case. So at 2.5 is perfectly fine, but take it to 3. Don't really want it over 3.5. Then we got probably the game of the week that keeps changing on me, and it's frustrating. Dolphins visiting the Bills. Was 2.5. Now it's 3. Bills favored by 3. This is a game I'm leaning more historical data on. Eye test says, don't you fade the Dolphins? I just watched their all 22s with the Broncos, man, and it looked incredible. I actually posted some of that on the TikTok. There was a couple joking ones, and then there was a couple with their run game. It's just insane, man. Like, they just look really, 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 really good. But with that being said, they just have not had a good go of it in Buffalo. It was very close and it's very competitive, but they haven't won these games. So this is another game where I'm like, if it's under 3, I love the Bills. If it's over 3, I gotta back the Dolphins. I mean, I don't see how you could, like, this is going to come down to a field goal. It should be a scoring fest, honestly. With the 53.5, I can, because Josh Allen has great numbers against the Dolphins, a team that he has historically done well against. And then Tua, even though his record is, I think, 1-4 or something like that against Miami, he doesn't do to Buffalo what he does to the Patriots as far as his overall record. But statistically, I don't think it's that bad. And again, if you watch this team, ain't nobody holding them under 21, 24, honestly. So let me get the Bills. I on my paper, I've got it at 2.5, but it's at 3 now. I would reluctantly take the 3. If you had a gun to my head with Buffalo, but I'm definitely looking to be like, hey, I'm going to buy this down to 2.5 for the Bills and buy it up for 3.5 for Miami and see if it lands on 3, and then I can get paid twice. Then you got the Commanders visiting the Eagles. Eagles favored by 8.5, was 7. This is the game that probably has had the most line movement in the last, 48 hours? A lot of people fading the Commanders, and probably rightfully so. I've been down on Philly against the number. They have proven me wrong twice. No, once. Because last time against the Vikings, I covered 7.5. And I actually had the Eagles in week one at 3.5 or 4. And they got 5. So I just thought it was something a little shaky there. So technically, it was only one game. And that was last week against the Bucks. And can I just say that it's not about losing the bet. It's about watching a team being down by 14 and literally just quitting with 9 minutes left in the game. 9 minutes left in the game, and the Bucks literally did nothing right to get off the field defensively. Like, I was telling one of my friends, I think that's the longest I've ever seen a team hold the ball in the last 7 years. I think there was one time where I saw Andy Reid do it to somebody. And then Bill Belichick did it one time. So it was like 10 minutes, almost 11 minutes they had the ball to run the clock out and end the game. But just schematically, none of their third down calls made any sense. Any sense, like, to the point where I'm just like, are you even trying to compete? Like, dude, like, I get it. The Eagles are good. They're a super talented team, but at least try. You're honoring Rondé Barber and your Ring of Honor, and you're at home. just pack it in. 9 minutes left in the game. Just pack it in. It's ridiculous, man. But I don't know if the Commanders would do that, especially in the division game. NFC East divisional games are always chaotic. Always chaotic. And it's not often that I see or that we see a line this big for a division game. I don't know. I mean, part of me is leaning to the Commanders to cover. It's a big number. Big number. But if they, I tell you what, they turn the ball over and the Eagles defense is definitely coming after people and getting turnovers. If they turn the ball over, there's no chance. They have zero chance of covering this number. They have to play a clean game to cover this number. Do you think Sam Howell and these guys can play a clean game? That is a two-unit question. So it's a two-unit question. I'm not sure, but let's just say I'm leaning Commanders right now. And maybe as we get further into the week, I'll have an actual like pick that I'll tweet or something. And then we got Tampa Bay visiting New Orleans. Saints favored at 3.5. Haven't talked much about injuries because the most recent games haven't been anything significant except for Joe Burrow and his calf, and everybody's aware of that. But Derek Carr doesn't sound like he's going to play, which means that Jameis Winston will start. And somebody was like, oh, it's a Winston revenge game. Pause. Hold on, bro. This isn't the first time Jameis has played the Bucs since they got rid of him. And also, do you know Jameis Winston? I love Jameis Winston. I'm a Jameis Winston supporter. But I'm not laying 3.5 on Jameis Winston, even if I don't like Baker Mayfield. This is a pass for me, personally. But if you want to play the game, I would do Saints at 3, because that defense should be able to force Baker and those guys into some uncomfortable situations. And I think that'll make the most difference. 0-3 again. Somebody's O has to go. The Vikings taking on the Panthers. Panthers are hosting them. Panthers are a 3.5 dog at home. A lot of folks saying, hey, if Andy Dalton plays, you know, back the Panthers, if Bryce Young plays, back the Vikings. Man, look, if there's a team that could find a way not to cover this number, it would be the freaking Vikings, man. I can't believe that I'm looking at this right now in real time, and 75% of money is on the Vikings. Like, were y'all not with me the last 3 weeks? These dudes will find a way to lose a game. It's ridiculous. There's no logical reason to why this team is 0-3. It does not make sense. This is a pass for me, because the Vikings are so close to being in my doghouse, which is where the Giants are, since week one. But I'm going to watch it. If they don't cover the 3.5, they're definitely going into the doghouse. And they should just tank for Caleb at this point. If Andy Dalton plays, yeah, the team will probably be more competitive just because he's a veteran. But that's not an indication of Bryce Young. I don't understand where people get these takes sometimes where they – like when Minshew came in and won the game against Minshew had the game against the Ravens, and people are like, is there a quarterback controversy? You don't draft guys in the top five and bench them when the backup comes in and plays better, especially if the backup is a seasoned veteran. Like, literally, that's what they're there for, to come in these spots, make the team compete, see what you got. But you're going to go back to the guy that you spent all draft capital on. Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, Andy Dalton can win the rest of the season. They could go on to win a Super Bowl, and that would probably be the only way that there would be a controversy between Bryce Young and Andy Dalton. Like, come on now. It's ridiculous. Rams visiting the Colts. Just talked about Anthony Richardson. Rams getting 1.5 on the road. Been a really competitive team, man. I do have some concerns about their red zone offense from last week, but I'm not sure if Minshew can put together back-to-back performance like that. And they were on the road too. Like, you got to give them credit for that too. For the Colts, like, to come on the road and beat Baltimore is definitely a big deal. And they're 2-1. Surprisingly, I think leading their division so far. That's definitely surprising. I don't think Anthony Richardson is going to play. He's still in concussion protocol, and it doesn't sound like he's getting out of it anytime soon, or at least not before Sunday. I'm not sure if he plays, if I still want to take the Colts. I like the Rams here. I think they got something cooking. It just was one of those games, like, you could look back on the Bengals game and say everything bad that could happen did happen for that offense, per se. it was concerning when the Bengals decided to dial up the pressure and get physical with the receivers on the outside. They didn't really have an adjustment. Although, and towards like the end of the game, the last drive or so, looks like they figured it out with Tutu. I'm not sure if the Colts can cover both of those guys. And I think that their offense isn't as explosive enough. Like, you know, Jamar Chase and Higgins and those guys, even though Higgins got hurt, there's more explosion on the Bengals side of the ball than the Colts. And so I think the Rams can play them a little bit differently. I like the point and a half I'm getting with the Rams. We consider them a money line play. I have them as a backup option in my super contest. Steelers, sorry for the long pause. I had to look at the line real quick. Also recording this at 7 in the morning, so I got to speed it up so I can get Tristan ready for school. Steelers at the Texans. Texans getting 3 at home. I mean, Texans seem like a betting darling now, which is wild. Absolutely wild, considering that they blew the first couple games. But they did look great against the Jags, and there's been a heavy dosage of, hey, look at Stroud, he's good. Even though before the draft, it was, is Stroud a bust? He didn't want to take his Wonderlic test, you know, dumb stuff like that. Who was it? One of the guys, I think it was Dan Orlinsky or whatever, who said that there was an issue, or was it Brady Quinn or something like that? Somebody was like, hey, he didn't go to the Manning camp or something. It's always something stupid, man. I just like to keep the receipts on stuff like that because the kid's talented, man. Just like Justin Fields is talented. He just sucks now. I give him that. But CJ Stroud, like, we hadn't even seen him pass yet. People were like, he's going to suck because Haskins suck and Fields sucks and such and such sucks. Like, what? So I'm happy to see him playing well. I looked at the Steelers. They can't run the ball. They don't understand the concept of blocking for the run. Absolutely, like, piss poor. Losing Stingley probably hurts them a lot because they need somebody to cover the wide receiver one option for the Steelers this week. But leaning Texans. I think I'll follow the money here, leaning Texans. I like what I see out of them. And the Steelers played really well against the Raiders in the spot that I thought they would have a down game. And they're due. Like, you're not going to get back-to-back road performances from a Steelers team that Tomlin coaches. I'm sorry. And this dates back to the Big Ben days. I'm sorry. So leaning Texans, you know, and honestly, if the line goes up to 3.5, even 4, I would probably put them as a reserve for my contest. But yeah. Chargers and Raiders. Los Angeles Chargers is really weird because I was about to say Los Angeles Raiders. Los Angeles Chargers hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm seeing 5.5 right now, but some of the lines before that was showing 6. So you got the Chargers laying 6. They lost Mike Williams. Is it significant? Kind of, especially if Eckler doesn't play, but I think Eckler should be back. And then they got Quentin Johnson. They drafted him for this reason. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen both have had injury issues anyway. So it shouldn't totally kill the offense. Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo's in concussion protocol. McDaniels being a loser that he is, thinking he's Bill Jr., won't tell anybody who the starting quarterback is. If he rolls out Hoyer, I'm 90% sure he will because that's what these idiots think. They all think that they're Bill Belichick and they just go with the vet and they can coach it. No. Bro, if you don't put O'Connell out there and just see what you got, he's clearly the better quarterback of the two. It's ridiculous that he doesn't play. But if they have Hoyer, I'm Chargers. If they have O'Connell, I'm leaning Raiders to cover. So, yeah, that's how high I am on O'Connell in relation to Hoyer. Chargers defense still sucks. So you get a guy who understands the system and understands how to get the ball to the people that are open. You could Brock Purdy your way to a cover. Then we've got the Cardinals coming into San Francisco or Santa Clara. Niners are favored by 14. Again, you know, teams that blow people out or that win those Teams that win double digit home dog games typically don't cover the game after that. So I don't take spreads over 10 unless it's the last resort. And if I'm going to lay it, it has to be on the home team. So lean to the Niners for that trend, but wouldn't be totally shocked if they just win by like 8 or something like that, especially a division game. The Cardinals are competing, so you got to keep that in mind. But we're at home. Shouldn't struggle. Patriots visiting the Cowboys. I've got 7 right now. Cowboys favored by 7. Love the Patriots in this spot. A team that has been competitive with some of the better teams in the league. Dolphins, Eagles. Come on now. Very competitive too. Granted, those were home games, but still able to show that they can handle a power offense and a finesse offense. So should be fine in this spot. Like, you know, you always worry about Mac Jones turning the ball over because that's ultimately what will hurt you in a game like this. But I don't see a lot of points coming in this game for either team. So I like the full touchdown that I'm getting here. Also, you know, the little tidbit about them picking up Greer, having Zeke, and probably stealing signs, et cetera, or stealing their calls. Who knows? It's always something with the Patriots. Then we've got the Chiefs visiting the Jets. Chiefs favored by 10. What is there to say here, man? I don't understand why Zach Wilson keeps getting rolled out. They've got to figure that out, man. But let me lean to the Chiefs there. And then the Monday night game, Seahawks and the Giants. Seahawks coming in as 1.5-point dogs to the Giants. Is Saquon going to play? That might sway me a little, but ultimately I see this game as a shootout or has potential to be a shootout. And if it has potential to be a shootout, in the words of Corey, who's the better quarterback? I'm going to go with the quarterback. And so I think Geno's better than Jones. And I think they can move the ball fairly easy against this Giants defense. Like, I mean, this is the same Giants defense that gave up 28 to Dobbs. And before that, I think a million points to the Cowboys and pretty much anybody else that they've played. Like, they're not good. They're just not a good defense. They're not a good unit. So I like the Seahawks here in what could be a shootout. I know it's a very public backing, not a lot of money behind them right now, but I'm leaning Seattle. We'll probably end up playing them just because of the primetime games. I usually play them separately anyway as standalone bets. So I'll probably end up playing them. I'll let everybody know. And so with that, that is week 4. My contest picks, Packers +1.5, Jags -3, Cleveland -2.5, Buffalo -2.5, Patriots +6.5 is what I have written down. But would obviously take the numbers that I had, you know, through here. Like if I can get 7 with the Patriots, I'll take the Patriots. I will update everyone via Twitter if, you know, whatever Westgate has, because these are the lines that I have right now, but the Westgate lines don't drop until Wednesday, like evening. So I'll let everybody know if I'm taking a different number or something like that. But those, are my 5 that I'm watching. Good luck to everybody. Be on the lookout for my DraftKings, FanDuel, like, you know, parlay boost that they give us out. I'm going to keep doing those. Those are 2-1. Last week was the 7-1 winner. And hopefully we can keep that going. All right, you guys take care. Good luck to you this week.